Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We're talking to the wow. Chicks Talking Footy team here at Joy 94.9. And my name's Fiona Newton. I'm with Danae Gibson and Beck Dahl. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
We've had a busy week last week, didn't we? We went to the had the Pride launch at the Prince of Wales.
That was so exciting.
The Football Club launched that. We then went on that night to see Caroline Wilson at the Deakin events. Then the next night, we're at Marnbrook.
We're part of the audience.
Part of the audience. I think a few people thought we were actually hosting the show, but that was not the case. But we're up for that if there's
I mean, if they're asking.
If they're asking, we've got our hand up. And then, Beck, you went to another event.
I did, the Adelaide Crows Melbourne lunch on Friday.
And then on Saturday night, you drove down to Skilled Stadium to watch Geelong and the Crows with your parents.
I did.
What do you do with yourself in the off-season?
Not a lot.
No, it was just such a great week for the diversity of the game, of our national code, the players, the media, the supporters, all of us, black, white, brindle, pink, green, grey, yellow, blue, etc. As you say, the LGBTIQAFL community.
Yeah, we certainly experienced the rainbow colours of our community. We've also, thanks to Same, they've done a write-up about the Pride game coming up and spoke to us about that. Of course, we're broadcasting at the Pride match, which we cannot wait for on August the 13th.
Very exciting.
Yeah, St Kilda and the Swans. Mm-hmm. And the Community Broadcast Association also did an article about that too today. So had a big chat to us about that too. So it's getting lots of publicity, which is good.
Getting the word around about the OB, and we have a Twitter account, finally.
Danae got excited and made us a handle.
Chicks Talking Footy. So CTF Joy 94.9.
Oh, yeah, don't forget the dot.
So follow us and share the love and let people know that there is a half hour each Wednesday night on Joy talking about footy.
Keep your finger on the pulse, people. We do have a Facebook page as well, Chicks Talking Footy, so you can follow us anywhere you like. All right, round 18. Now, you thought it was a bit of a stodgy round.
I called it the stodgy round.
Whereas me and Beck thought it was a very interesting round.
I just thought some of the games were a bit, you know.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Look, some of the games were a bit dull, the games themselves, but the results certainly had an interesting impact.
Outcomes are different to the actual
play. Absolutely. So the eight is looking just really interesting, I think. I mean, obviously, I like being on top of the ladder, but as a Hawks supporter. But also, there's six teams in the eight. They're on 48 points, so they're only separated by percentage and sometimes only 1% or 2%.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I reckon it's going to be an exciting run down to the end of the season for those teams in that spot.
I agree, Beck. I think it'll be a good final series as well. I'm hoping for that as one of a follower of a team that's not in the eight.
Yeah. So
you can join the Crows, Danae. We'll have you.
Yeah. I'm sure you won't be barracking for
the Hawks. I hate them the least, so it's possible.
Yes, and sometimes that's how you barrack. So we had North Melbourne on the Friday finally break their losing streak.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think probably sent Port and St Kilda out of the finals pretty swiftly there too.
Yeah, by actually winning.
Yeah.
Well, how much have they had? Two games?
Two games, yeah.
So the eight's pretty set really with five games to go, isn't it? It'd take a bit of a miracle for it to change.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Sydney only narrowly beat the Blues.
Again, the Blues coming home strongly.
Yeah, according to my Swans connections, sometimes I call them friends, they weren't playing so well. I didn't actually watch the game or keep track of it too well, but
yeah, the interesting thing, I'm full of facts, as you know, lately, but the thing out of that game for me was Ted Richards getting dropped for his brother after 261 games in a premiership. We might never see him again.
Ted Richards has had concussion issues this year. It's not quite Steve Waugh being dropped for Mark Waugh, but it's very similar.
Yeah. I just think it's a bit of a sad way to go out if that's the last we're going to see of him. But yeah.
I hope they're managing him.
Now, speaking of the Swans, we're going to be talking to Serena Jackson from the Rainbow Swans today after we've discussed the highlights. So interesting to talk to her. Suns beat the Dockers. That was at their home home ground, wasn't it?
It was.
Magical. For some reason, I was keeping track of that. It might have been because of the tipping. Eagles beat the D's by just one goal, so a couple of close games.
The D's had it in their forward 50 in the for the first 10 minutes of the last quarter and could not kick a goal. Kicked 6 points in a row, I think, and just Eagles kicked one goal and was enough.
It sounded like the round of behinds, and I'll talk about that when we go through. Not those behinds, Bex.
Oh, sorry. Different story.
different show. Wait for hide and seek. Saints upset the Doggies. Now, I was excited by that.
Oh, but I just, every time I think about the Bulldogs, I want to cry.
Because of the injuries?
Awful. Oh, just that injury to Mitch Wallace. I mean,
yeah, that was
my
sad.
Goodness
apparently,
me.
Apparently some people at the Doggies were crying.
Well, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
It's a 6 weeks out from the finals and you lose two players for a year. And I haven't watched that injury because I broke my tib and fib a dozen years or so ago. And it was around the time that Nathan Brown did his. And when I saw him do it, I had a little flashback and felt quite sick. So I'm not going to be watching any replays.
I watched it and it wasn't pretty.
It's funny how we talk about injuries sometimes. It's like they're out for the season. It's like, meanwhile, they're in absolute agony.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere, you know,
they're a tight group at the Western Bulldogs, and I think they were looking forward to playing finals, which they will still do, but that really impacts that team.
Yeah.
That's really sad. I felt sad too.
Yeah. I was happy about them losing, though, because the Bulldogs and the Crows were only a game behind Hawthorn because they both lost. We're now two games ahead. So I was actually watching for
excellent
that reason
segue.
And excited. Yeah. Cats beat Adelaide. You went down to the Skills Stadium with the Andale and Michael Dale, your parents?
I did. I took Chicks Talking Footy's two greatest fans down to Geelong. look, it was freezing cold.
Yeah, so someone wearing long sleeves.
Yeah, it was cold, so they tell me I was inside, but I hear it was cold outside. The difference in that game for me was every time there was a contest, Geelong was just on top. And the other one was that I think Walker, Betts and Lynch all had the quietest games I've seen in forever, and Tom Hawkins had one of the best games I've seen him play in a long time. So
I don't like Tommy Hawkins.
So he hasn't been in great form, so that's a really good result because you're not going to do that 2 weeks in a row, are you?
No, and fingers crossed Tex and Daniel Taylor will be fine this week.
Are they sore?
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
The denial.
Yeah.
The Wooden Cup?
Yeah.
Wooden Spoon Cup. The Lions beat Essendon. I have to say, I watched a little bit of that game because it was on before the Hawks game. And Essendon played very, very badly.
Yeah. I mean, Brisbane had 12 straight losses before that. I reckon Lepich is thanking his lucky stars.
Yeah, if you lost to Essendon after that, but it would have been bad. But
I listened to that game, and in the post-match chats with the players and the description of them hugging the coach straight after the game, they were playing for their coach. Brisbane Lions were playing for Lepich.
For his life.
Yeah, on Sunday, and they support him. So I don't know that we get the full story, or we get one of 17 stories coming out of the Brisbane Lions. And I'm pleased for them.
Yeah. Anyway, so Essendon will get the first draft pick, it looks like. Hawks thrashed the Tigers. It was Sammy Mitchell's 300.
It was. And I've got a fun fact about Sammy Mitchell. Do you want to hear it?
I always want to hear your fun fact.
So, in his first game in 2002, he had four possessions for the whole game. His 300th game, four possessions in the first 4 minutes. Fact.
There you go. Fun fact.
Yeah.
You're a fax machine.
I am. That's what they call me.
Bechdel bringing
it
to you.
I have to say, it was a terrible game, though, for three quarters.
It was not great.
Look, this is a bit graphic, but someone said to me it was kind of like having sex when no one actually comes. Because basically, it would just get down to your end.
Yeah.
And
nothing happens.
Nothing would happen. Exactly. but for three quarters, it was something like 4-14 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not great football, is it?
It was terrible. It was excruciating. And the relief was the Tigers were playing as badly as us for three quarters. So Giants had a slow start. I think Power were beating them for the first half. But they did come through and win, and they jumped from seventh spots on the ladder to third.
Yeah.
Probably thanks to a few teams that lost that week.
Yeah. And look, the biggest one for me to watch out of that game was Phil Davis's hair, which is almost a Callan Ward style, and I'm actually quite impressed by that.
And he played his 100th game, the first player to do so for the Giants.
Former Crow.
There you go. Quick update on the Women's League too. Today they've announced the 16 marquee players for the women's team.
That's fantastic. There are eight teams to take the field in the inaugural season to start next year. And so two players per club.
per club. So some ones that we'd expect, Taylor Harris, Daisy Pierce.
So Daisy went to Melbourne.
Melbourne, yeah.
Daisy's 28. Just in I want to get that in our minds because I've had a lot of people say to me, gee, young Daisy's good. And she is terrific player. She's not that young. She's 28. There are some younger players like Taylor Harris who will be a Brisbane Lion marquee player. Brisbane have gone for the glamour, I think, Beck.
They have. But I want to say well done to my new two favourite players, Kelly Gibson and Chelsea Randall. I hope they're going to release badges because I want to have badges of them.
Let's just make them.
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. I think having read about my new two favourite players, Kelly and Chelsea, today, what continues to strike me about these women is their background in all kinds of different sports. I mean, with the men, you know, you occasionally get your basketballers, your Josh Jenkins and all those sorts of people. But Kelly Gibson, for example, had a track and field background. She played rugby sevens and she's played AFL. And I think the physicality of some of these women is mind-boggling.
It's fantastic. I'd like to add that she's a Swan Districts player from Western Australia.
We gave you Pavlich. She gave us these girls, you know, whatever.
So I think Kelly is a great sign of exactly why the National Women's League is such an important development in women's football, because it's a pathway for young girls and women, finally, that they can choose Aussie rules football as their primary sport. And so many of these players have had opportunities to try a lot of other things but haven't been focused on playing football since they were six,
yep,
like boys who become young men who become AFL players do. So, yeah, Chelsea and Kelly for Adelaide. Sorry, Hawk, you don't have a team.
No. Our team. Have the Hawks decided they just didn't want to bother this year? They didn't even apply.
So for Melburnians, I'll focus for you for a moment. Mona Hope is going to be a superstar for Collingwood, and Emma King, another from Western Australia, the Coastal Titans. Fremantle have Cara Donnellan and Kiara Bowers. There's Cara and Kiara, both West Australians, staying at home for Fremantle. But Renee Forth, who's a superstar, and Emma Swanson, a young player, both from Western Australia, moving to the Greater Western Sydney Giants. Fee.
Hope they've got long hair.
Hope they've got beautiful hair.
Beautiful flowing locks.
And we could talk about Western Bulldogs forever, but we might just save that for a little later.
Yeah, we might do that a little bit about that at the end of the show. In a moment, though, we're going to be talking to Serena from the Rainbow Swans, and we're going to hear all about what the Rainbow Swans' involvement in the Pride game and what they do as an LGBTIQ AFL community.
You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talkin' Footy with Fiona and Danae.
We love talking footy. It's our favourite topic. You're on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona, Danae and Beck this week off the Interchange Bench, one of our favourite crows.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely my favourite crow.
How many do you know?
Wow, yeah.
Out of the five crow supporters that I know, you're my favourite. Now, we have a very special guest on the show right now. Her name is Serena. She's from the Rainbow Swans. They're an LGBTIQ AFL supporters group. Hi, Serena. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Now, Serena, you were doing a football show on Joy a number of years ago. Is that correct?
Yes, in my youth. a long, long time ago, a man by the name of Richard Watts, who a lot of Melbourne listeners would know, and I started the Good Sports on Joy, and that would probably be 12, 13 years ago.
Wow. So you're part of our history and we didn't even know it.
I am a little bit, yes.
Oh, there that's fantastic. And then Danae did a football show about 6 or 7 years ago and I recruited her back onto the show at the start of this year. So
there you go.
Bit of tag teaming.
There is indeed.
Now, you're a member of the Rainbow Swans.
Yes.
So
yes,
tell us a little bit about your involvement and what the Rainbow Swans vision and a motto is about.
I'm a fairly new recruit to the Rainbow Swans, but I'm one of the admins of it, and we've now got 340 odd members.
Wow.
It goes up every day. Every day we get requests for new members, and our aim, we're working closely with the club itself. We're a fully integrated club or a sub-club of the Swans, so, which is really exciting, and they're really keen to have us on board and helping us grow. And we're really just providing, I suppose, a safe place, but a place where we can all get together and watch the games, either away games or together games, home games, and celebrate our diversity and our favourite team.
Congratulations on 340 members. That's fantastic, Serena. It's I think that the Sydney Swans, when they moved from South Melbourne up to Sydney, probably wouldn't have survived as long and as well as they did without the support of queer football lovers and expat Victorians.
I think that's right.
Have you been following the Swans forever?
Yes, I have. The sad part about that is I remember going in the 80s to a game. I don't remember what year it was, but I was a child and I went to a Swans Carlton game and everyone was supporting the Swans, so I thought I'd be a Carlton supporter. And then I realised that was a really silly idea. I think they won and thrashed the Swans, which wasn't difficult back in the 80s. And I became a fairly true blood, and have been a Sydney Swans supporter ever since. So apart from my first few games where I was a Carlton supporter.
Serena, I'm really interested in whether you've had any feedback or support from the Swans players about the Rainbow Swans and whether they've wanted to be involved in what you've been doing.
Yes and no, in short. Last year, a couple of Swans players walked in Mardi Gras. They didn't this year, but they did last year. We've actually, in the process, I know a few of the players and a few of the coaching staff personally, and they're really supportive of it. And we are planning on having a function with the staff and the players soon. So it's one of those things that we haven't all got together yet, but the players that I've spoken to and the players and the staff that I have are really supportive of it, and so is the club itself.
Fantastic. And there's a number of people. I'm actually a part of your Facebook page, albeit a Hawk supporter, so I'm glad you're inclusive in many ways.
But, oh, well, we don't like you at all.
I know.
They haven't changed your credentials.
I know. I love the Rainbow Swans, but there's certainly a rivalry between the Hawks and the Swans. But
there is. Hopefully to meet in the grand final again this year.
Yeah, and look, you stole Buddy, so we'll probably never forgive you for that. So
you haven't done too badly since you left.
No, that does help heal the pain. But so there's a number of... We're actually, the Chicks Talking Footy, are hosting the broadcast at the Pride game between the Saints and the Swans on August the 13th. And there seems to be a number of people coming down for that from the Rainbow Swans.
There is. There's a large contingent of players coming down, and there's an official function for all footy, gay, queer, LGBTQ footy lovers on the Friday night, and then again on the Saturday, and then there's obviously the official Rainbow Swan Safe Pride function on the Saturday before the game. It's a really great initiative from the AFL, and we're really excited about it. There's a lot of supporters from across the country who are Swan supporters travelling down for the game. So, and I think from what I heard yesterday is the public seating is nearly sold out.
Wow!
So I think that is a good indication of the support for this game.
Yeah, great.
I know of groups that have got together to organise to buy tickets that don't barrack for Sydney Swans or the Saints just because they really want to support this initiative of the AFL, which is fantastic. Now, I would just like to add some old partygoers' advice and say, don't peak too early. If you're coming down for a Friday night before Saturday, make sure you're in ship shape for Saturday.
Well, at least the game's at night.
Everyone's going to be singing the Swan song all night, but hopefully they don't do their Swan song too early, but we'll see.
With the Pride game coming up, how do you think that's going to benefit groups like the Rainbow Swans and the LGBTI AFL community in general?
Look, the Saints are doing a really good job in promoting the game. They've got a lot of... So there's going to be a bit of a... I suppose a trade show, but not a mini midsummer going on, carnival-like atmosphere at the game. And there's a lot of gamers in sporting organisations and clubs and other organisations that are meeting and having stands, and there's going to be a lot of information. So there's going to be a lot of fun party atmosphere going on down there. And hopefully that breaks down some barriers between the stereotypical sports or football AFL supporter and crossing over into the broader gamers in community. So that would be a really good starting place for the game. Mm. Obviously, the AFL are leaders in this across Australia and across the world in doing their particular rounds and supporting and also games. So obviously, this game started with the game in Sydney in the NAB Cup last year up at Dromore Oval when they had the gay game and they had the 50-metre arc in the rainbow colours. I'm assuming they're doing that again. But this year they've gone into the full game and hopefully they do the round next year. But I think that's all, you know, small steps. But I think that spreads our message to the broader community.
Yeah, I was actually...
Same teams the same way and our blood bleeds the same colours and that's the colours of our club.
Yeah, well, look, I was actually at the NAB game last year and it was great to see the rainbow theme. And I know the Sydney Swans are wearing the rainbow socks. And
they are, and the clubs, the Saints are wearing the rainbow numbers on the back, which is great.
Yeah, well, Danae and I were at the Pride launch last week, and one of the things the CEO, Matt Finnis of the St Kilda Football Club, said was it's very significant that the two clubs that represent the Mardi Gras in Sydney, the area in Mardi Gras in Sydney, and the Saints representing where the Pride March happens in Melbourne are the two clubs that are in the inaugural game. So very exciting.
I think it's very significant for the growth of the team and the awareness for us as individuals and as a community.
Yeah. Look, we're really looking forward to it. I know Stephen Fogarty from the Rainbow Swans, he helps coordinate the group, has been very supportive and promoting it up in Sydney.
He's the backbone.
Yeah.
I've just got one last thing to hope for, which is great banners for both the Sydney Swans and the
Sydney. I do too. I can't wait to see them. I hope they're really good.
Yeah. So, Serena, we look forward to seeing you in person and sharing our hospitality with you as part of the Pride game on the 13th of August.
If I can plug one other thing, is the charity for the night of the Pride game is actually the Gay and Lesbian Foundation of Australia, which I'm also a director trustee of. So I've sort of got two hats on that night. But,
excellent.
Galfer, as it's known, is the charity that everybody's fundraising for on the night. So everyone gets the game and give some good money to a very worthwhile charity at the Pride game.
Oh, that is awesome.
It's a win-win for everybody. So
it is a win-win for me, isn't it?
Hopefully it'll be a win-win-win for you on the night.
Well, I'm quite...
I don't really say that with any sincerity, but...
Thanks, Serena.
But thank you. And look, we'd love to chat to you on the broadcast in a couple of weeks when the game is actually on. But thanks so much for your time, Serena. It's been great to chat to you tonight. And, we look forward to seeing you when you're in Melbourne.
Absolutely. See you later, ladies.
Thanks, Serena.
Bye.
You're on Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. And we're going to come back and talk about round 19, preview the last five games of the season here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9, and we're about to head into round 19 already.
Already, yep. Only five games to go.
Starts on Friday with Geelong and the Western Bulldogs at Skilled Stadium, and congratulations to good South Australian boy Corey Enright, who breaks a Geelong club record this weekend.
In the battle of the backyard pets.
As Moddy calls it, I love it.
I know.
Cats and the dogs.
Cats for me. Saturday, GWS Giants in Richmond.
Ooh, GWS.
GWS, yep, for the win. Saturday also Hawthorn and Carlton.
Mm-hmm. Feeling comfortable, Hawk?
Pretty comfortable, though Bolton's got some of our secrets, so you never know.
He's coaching well.
We'll see. Collingwood and the Eagles at the MCG, Saturday afternoon.
Well, the Eagles are ordinary, but you think the Pies?
Yeah,
I think
the Pies.
Let's hope for that.
I'd probably tip West Coast on that one, but...
Controversial.
Yeah. I don't want them to win.
Won the Saturday night games, Brisbane and Port.
Port will win easily.
They will, because it doesn't matter.
They've actually been playing really well the last 3-4 weeks.
Left their run a bit late,
but
though.
But they peak and trough.
The other Saturday night game, North Melbourne and St Kilda, Boomer going to break the AFL-VFL games record.
Was it 428 games he'll play?
428 million games.
Yeah. Congratulations, Brent.
Yeah, well done. Then on Sunday, Melbourne and the Gold Coast Suns are the G. Melbourne, surely.
Yeah. Melbourne should have beaten West Coast last weekend and kicked themselves out of it. They'll want to play better this weekend.
Yeah, but the Suns, as soon as I don't have Ablett,
Those three tall men who kick all the goals, they're dangerous.
Lynch is good.
Yeah. Free on the Swans. Do you want to gush about Pav for 5 seconds today?
I do want to say congratulations to the greatest Fremantle Football Club player of all time, Matthew Pavlich. Game 350, forever 29. We love you, Pav. Go well.
Another good Adelaide boy. And the last game of the round, the Crows and the Bombers. Crows will be back. We're fine. Last week was a loss we had to have.
Yeah.
It was a hiccup.
Well, I'm glad you had it too.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. We were 2 games ahead, but you should beat the Bombers.
Surely,
you know, seeing looking at how absolutely rubbish they played last week.
We've got to get out of that glut in the eight.
Quagmire.
It'll come down to percentage. We're also a lot of those teams, those six teams, aren't playing each other in the next 5 weeks. I think only Geelong and the Bulldogs are playing each other, and then no one else is. So there's not even a chance to knock each other off.
So interesting.
So very interesting. It's all going to come down to percentage. 5 games to go in the AFL. We're going to be back next week. I'm actually going to be away. Oh. So, but we've got a strong interchange bench.
We do.
We're not like Gary. I'm not like Gary Ablett. And the team doesn't fall apart when I'm away.
Two more Chicks Talking Footy episodes before the great Pride game OB of August 13. So we'll be talking more about that in the lead up.
That's right. And the podcast will be available from tomorrow.
Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter now, as well as Facebook. Chicks Talking Footy on Facebook and CTF Joy 94.9 on Twitter. We'll be back next week on Chicks Talking Footy. Footy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.